Got everything out but my Bible. All right, Philippians, we're in chapter 2. We're going to start looking at the mind of Christ. Wow. All I can say is double wow. Now, the whole book of Philippians is about the believer's joy. Jesus said he had joy, and he said, I want you to have my joy. And it is amazing that God wants to share something that is so much better than happiness, because happiness comes and goes. And he wants to give us something that never leaves, that in me your joy might be full. So we're in Philippians chapter 2, and some rich challenges tonight. Philippians chapter 2. Let's just catch up with ourselves. Let's read chapter 2. Let's read down to verse 11, and then we'll go back and tap into this challenge, this very, what do you want to say? This truth, or this, I don't like calling it deep thoughts. They are deep thoughts, but it is something that actually, man, it changes the way you think. Let's read starting in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ. How many have ever had some consoling, some heart warming events because of Jesus Christ? Amen. Happened to me when I got saved. Amen. All right. If that's true, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, these are things that will be in your life if you've been saved. Paul says, will fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now that word mind appears three times in this chapter, and it's this repetition that is going to get our attention in a moment. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Take care of one another. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. There's your fashion statement, ladies. When he had the fashion of a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because of all that, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, the mind of Christ. We're looking at Philippians 4:4. Who can quote it for me? Who can quote Philippians 4:4? Yes? Perfect. That seems to sum up the entire book that God, through Paul, is writing. The key word, therefore, throughout the book is joy and how to get it. Folks, you gotta start believing that God is all sufficient. He will never let you down, no matter what you go through. And I was thinking about this. There's a great truth I just saw in 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful unto me. But listen to this, but all things are not expedient. Not everything is what I should be into. But listen to the last half. It says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So everything that happens to me may be for me. And I got to start believing that. But it won't be something that I want to live in. Amen. My situation may bring me to the bottom of a situation. I may be at the end of my rope, and it may be good for me. Who wants to live there? But don't get this idea of God abandons you and God forsakes you. He can't. It's not in his nature. Amen. God is all sufficient to meet our needs. And so we need to learn to rejoice in the Lord regardless of our circumstances. The author of the book is the Apostle Paul, who could, better than Peter, better than John, better than any other Christian alive, he could be used by God to prove that joy joy, true joy, can overwhelm every situation in your life. So our goal, as we study the things, to tap into this thing called the believer's joy. We're in chapter 2 and we're looking at the mind of Christ. And the first thing we need to do is we need to think about or understand, let me put it this way, the mind of the Christian. You ever heard somebody say, well, she's got a mind of her own. All right. Well, a Christian has a mind of his own. We are not robots. Can you understand that? The moment you got saved, you did not. It doesn't happen that way. Don't you wish it did? Don't you wish God could just scoop up all this gray matter and put some clean white matter in there? Amen. Don't you wish that there would be a brain transplant? But it doesn't happen that way. If he did that, people would worry and wonder. He wants people of their own free will to change. Not of their own effort, but of their yieldedness. And we're talking about that as we study this. So, what is the mind of the Christian? The mind of the Christian, when he talks about the mind, let this mind be in you, he's saying, let this be the way you think. Let this be how you make decisions. How do you make decisions, huh? When you wake up in the morning, do you choose to get out of bed or is it something that's automatic? When somebody says something against you and somebody says it to your face, how do you respond? How do you choose to react to that? The mind of the Christian is the way that we normally and naturally think. It sometimes is blind to the things of God. I call it ruined. Amen. Did you know your mind is what thought that godliness was foolishness? Listen to your Bible. 2 Corinthians 3:14 says, but their minds were blinded. Their minds were blinded. Speaking of the Jews, for unto this day remaineth the same veil covering, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Take your Bible, let's go, and let's just leave here for a few minutes. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just a few books back, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at how our minds can be blinded. We can miss, we can have blind spots. 2 Corinthians 4:4, especially before we got saved. But let me just tell you, even after you get saved, you can have blind spots. Amen? That's why we need each other. That's why you need preaching. That's why you need to be listening to your Bible. I got real convicted this afternoon. I'm studying this thing and I'm studying the mind. And all of a sudden, bam, bam, bam. That's for you, Ledbetter. And I went, ow. I did never see that before. I'm not going to preach on it yet either because it's really convicting. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom, look at verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost. It's not like it's hiding and it can't be found. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the what? Talk to me. The minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The mind can be blinded. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. We looked at this verse this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Somebody says, I'm saved. God would never let me be blind. Or are you telling me that the Lord will never let the devil trip you up thinking you're doing right? See, I know a lot of Christians who think, now that I'm saved, God wouldn't allow me to believe a lie. Are you kidding? Look at your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. The Bible says, I fear, Paul writing, lest by any means, and he will use every means available, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your what? Your minds should end up being corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He's afraid that somebody mess with the minds of Christians and ruin them. Let's go to Ephesians. You're in Corinthians. Go to the right. Go to Ephesians now. Just two books. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. Ephesians 2 and verse 3. Nita, would you read that? Real loud. Wow. So the way we lived before we got saved was we were living according to what our flesh wanted and what our mind wanted. Amen. Did you know after you get saved, you can get back to doing the same things you were before? You'll never have joy in it. but you'll be stuck in it, living in it. Let's look at another one. Go to Titus. On further, Titus. Just after Timothy. 1 and 2 Timothy comes Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. Brother Joseph. 1:15. Real loud if you can. Wow. So you know, when you've been purified, you've been washed in the blood, and you've been forgiven, everything is clean and everything is pure. But if you're running around with a violated, defiled mind, ain't nothing good. Amen? So your mind can get ruined. Second thing, not only is it blind sometimes to the things of God, it leans toward sin. This is talking about my mind, not just my hands, but the way I think. I usually, where does sin, we know sin begins where? The heart. But the heart does not control my hand. Guess what chooses that my hand reaches out and slaps or steals? What makes that choice? My mind. So somehow, some way, I've got to understand why my mind wants these things. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And these are the quintessential, these are the super important issues of life. The election in America doesn't matter compared to whether my mind is defiled or pure. That's the real problem I've got to conquer. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. I'm sorry, verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, the things that I don't want to do, I consent in the law that it is good. What is he referring to? Look at how he talks in verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. You know what he does? He says to his kids, no ice cream. And then as soon as they go to bed, he goes and gets them a bowl of ice cream. The things which I do, I allow nobody else to do. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent, I agree unto the law that the law is good. Now, it is no more I that do it, but what? Sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. My will says, I want to do right. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I keep hitting obstacles. Verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Say, brother Lebeder, it sounds very confusing. Yeah, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, the Christian life is a struggle. Anybody who says, I haven't sinned in the last 16 years, is a liar. And his brain, his mind, his conscience is seared. He doesn't believe he sins anymore. No. Paul, probably the greatest Christian who ever lived, says, the things that I would do, I don't. And the things I don't want to do, I do. And he says, it's very frustrating. Amen. And he says, because of that, I can agree that there is something inside of me that's messed up. It's sin. Watch it. Verse 21. I find then a law. And when he talks about a law, he means a fixed rule or something that is in control of his life. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after... Not the outer man. My flesh doesn't want to do right. My flesh wants to stay in bed. My flesh wants to overeat. My flesh wants to get angry and hold on to bitterness. That's the old me. But I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law, another controlling force in my members, warring against the law of my... Hello? So my mind says I choose to do right, but there's another law that wants to do wrong. Watch it. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself will serve the law of what? I will no longer, now that I'm saved, I will no longer serve the law of my own lusts. I will no longer serve the law of my own emotions, of my own desires. I will serve the law of the desires of God. But where does that happen? It doesn't happen in my heart. My heart is like a yo-yo. My heart is like the weather. It changes as fast as it can. My mind is where I make a choice and I choose to serve the controlling force of God or the controlling force of my flesh. Amen? Do you understand? We're going to understand that a little bit more. I just want you to understand, when I let my mind just go with the flow and not follow the law of God, I will give in to the law of my flesh. Yes, sir? No, your mind is your will. It's the way you think. It's what you want to do. Your will is what you choose to do. All right? And that choice is made in the mind. Okay? So I will or I won't based on what I want. Okay? I'm just trying to get you the mind of the Christian. If you leave a Christian, if you don't set out to say, I will be at church, I will read my Bible, guess what you're going to do? You're going to sin. You're going to end up watching things you shouldn't watch. You're going to end up saying things you shouldn't say. You're going to end up doing things that you shouldn't do unless you choose to do right. Amen? Do you understand? Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whom ye will obey, whom ye will follow. So, third point, really. The mind of the Christian has to be, are you watching this? Has to be constantly renewed. In other words, it means made right towards God. Go to Mark 5. Mark chapter 5. I knew what I was doing this study. I've already got two whole lessons out of just these verses. I might have to actually make it into three. I don't know how long we're going to be able to go. Mark chapter 5, verse 15. Bill, would you read 5:15? We're watching the mind being renewed here. Real loud. No, 5:15. Mark 5:15.
They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had a legion sitting and filled it and in his right mind, and they were afraid.
So who is this guy that had a legion of devils in him and is now sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind and fully clothed? Who is this guy? That's right. Lived in the caves and hang around tombs and cried all day and all night cutting himself. And here he is in his right what? In his right mind. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? I love that phrase. Amen. Let's look at another one. Romans 12. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Evidently that man's mind got fixed. Romans chapter 12. And believe me, if I have the difference between a broken arm and a broken mind, which one would you rather get fixed? Amen. Romans chapter 12. Miss Gina, 12:2. You know the verse, but let's read it real loud. Wow. Amen. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Circle the word mind. Philippians 4 in verse 7. Philippians 4 in verse 7. All right. Marlene, you want to try this one? I'm glad he can get a grip on my heart, but he also can help my mind. Amen. You know why a lot of people can't sleep? The mind is just going miles and miles a minute. Amen. And it's just wonderful when the Holy Spirit can go in there and says, it's all right. And the mind can shut down. The heart may be worried. The heart may be concerned. But the mind can say, I believe God. All right. Let's look at another one. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. To the right, a little bit further. Brother Paul, you know this verse. 2 Timothy 1, 7. Oh, yes. That's right. Amen. Amen. Sound mind. So he has it offered. Hey, does that mean that I automatically, ever since I got saved, I have a sound mind and I never have another problem? Or can my mind be messed up? Oh, yeah. That's what we read there in 2 Corinthians. It says, I fear lest just like the serpent beguiled Eve, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Christians can be messed with. Amen? Messed with their minds. And Paul says, God has a sound mind for everybody. All you have to do is get it. Apply it. Renew it every day. Plug it in. Let's look at another one. Titus chapter 2. Just a few more pages back to the book of Titus. Let's see, Brother Kevin, Titus chapter 2 and verse, where was I going to have you? I'm going to 6. Titus 2 and verse 6. All right, short and sweet. Young men especially need to be sober-minded. Why do they have to be encouraged to be sober-minded? Because if you let them go, they'll be defiled. Amen. Flee youthful lusts. Paul told Timothy, stay away from pornography. Stay away from the music and the things that get you to only obey your flesh instead of God. Take it to another one. Go to Ephesians. Go back now. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. Celine, would you read Ephesians 4 and verse 23? Ephesians 4 and verse 23. All right, so there it is repeated. But it's not just be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now he's very specific and he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Helps us out understand what is he talking about. I'm going to show a diagram in just a few minutes. One more. Hebrews 8. Oh, keep going there. Wait to the right. Don't get to Revelation, but go to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 11. I'm sorry, verse 10. Hebrews 8 and verse 10. Brother Tony. And this is powerful.
For this is the covenant that I will make the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
So God wants to put His words, His absolutes, where? Two places. I need them in both places, don't I? See, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we will memorize Scripture, but we won't meditate on Scripture. So we'll get it in our mind, but we won't get it in our heart. Sometimes we'll have a good verse, and it'll bless our heart, and it'll be so wonderful we have faith, but we don't retain it in our mind so that when we get into a problem, we can't remember it. And you've got to have it in both places. All right. Two more things here. A Christian has two minds. So what have I said? The only person who's qualified to be a verifiable schizophrenic is a Christian. Somebody says, I'm between two minds. Yes, yes, yes. That is the struggle of the Christian. You have two minds now. First of all, we have a fleshly mind. It is something that loves the flesh and is influenced by the flesh. So I'm going to actually draw parts of the mind here. We're going to do a little surgery this evening. And my fleshly mind is influenced by my body. It is influenced by chemical reactions that are in my body. It is influenced by touch. That's why the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Because all you got to do is have a girl just come up and just barely touch, and all of a sudden chemicals start acting, and then the mind starts thinking, and you go, wow, Powerful, yes. Now, let me take you to some scriptures and show you this thing. I can scream louder than you, kid. Don't worry. Romans chapter 8. Go back to the left. Go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Miss Dina, would you read Romans 8 and verse 6? All right. Carnally, what's the word? Minded. There's a part of my mind that tends to do things that my flesh wants to do. Just obeys whatever my stomach says. Obeys whatever my chemical based emotions say to do. Now, look still in chapter 8. Look at verse 7. Let's see, Brother Martin. It didn't say my flesh. It says what cannot be subject to God? The mind. The mind that is part of me that is connected with this flesh. Okay? So, and yet it's in the Christian. It's in the Christian. Let me show you another part of your mind. And that's the spiritual part. That's the spiritual mind. We just read there in verse 8. Or verse 7, it says, verse 6, to be carnally minded is certain death, but to be what? Spiritually minded is life and peace. So let's look at another part of our mind that is influenced by God, that is influenced by righteousness. It loves righteousness. This part of you, let me just say real clear, all right? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Before I got saved, what part of me was dead? My spirit. And there was a part of my thinking that was anything but spiritual. All I thought about was myself. And if I continued to just follow my flesh, where would it lead? Death. But now, the moment I got saved, I got a new mind. Amen? God did not get rid of the old one. He just put a new one in there. And that new mind now says, with a very still, small voice, says, I hear somebody talking. Be quiet, Greg. Let's listen. That's my spiritual mind. My spiritual mind wants to hear God, wants to know God, wants to be holy, wants to enjoy the things of God, wants to serve God. There's a part of me that's like that. And it's a part in every Christian. One of the greatest proofs, there's 7 or 8 great proofs that you're saved. And one of them is, you love this book. You love the brethren. You don't mind if God corrects you because, woo, he's trying to make you holy. Amen. There's a part of you that thrills. That's the spiritual mind. Your flesh couldn't care less about the things of God. Amen? All right. So you got these two minds, but there are actually three. There's the soul. The soul is that part of the mind that makes the choice between what my flesh wants and what the spirit wants. And those choices are determined by me. So when I speak, Gina, when I am talking to you, it is not my lips, my tongue, my vocal cords. The real Craig Ledbetter, which is the soul, is talking to you through that body. Amen? And I choose how I use my hands or whether I pray. And that choice is in my soul. My soul is never dying. It will live forever. My flesh will die and go into the grave. My soul will spend an eternity somewhere. Amen? And that's how it come. If I'm going to be Christian, if I'm going to be spiritual, I have to have this new mind. And I need this part of my mind constantly renewed. And it's up to my soul to choose whether I'm feeding... Oh, go back here. Whether I'm feeding the spiritual area of my life or the flesh area of my life. I don't know if that's super complicated, but I wanted to show the Bible talks about carnally minded, spiritually minded. And Paul says, wow, I don't know how to live. Listen to what he says. With my mind, I will serve the law of God. Which part of his mind? Which part is subject or obedient to the law of God? Which part? The spiritual part. Huh? Did you know, I believe that these areas in you are as big as you want them to be. And based on the amount that you feed, you ever met somebody? Man, they're just most selfish creatures ever. You know what they've done? They've done nothing but feed their flesh. They've done nothing but feed their pride. When we say flesh, it's more than just your skin. Did you know that? Pride is part of your flesh. It's part of self. Self is flesh backwards with an H added. Yeah, something like that. Somebody said that. I couldn't remember all of a sudden. Thank you. And this is everything that's wrong with me. Paul says it. He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Wow. So when your wife fell in love with you, she was falling in love with something that was no good at all. Amen. But Paul got this spiritual mind. And I want you to see this third part of you that makes that choice. And that's where we have the battle. Because I want my spirit to win. But it is usually very small in my life. And this part is very... And that's why the Bible encourages sometimes fasting. And reducing the size of this. Amen? Yes, sir. Yes, this is only his mind. This is his body here. His body, the chemicals of his body, the desires of his animalistic nature influence his mind to tell him, oh, there's a pretty girl. And this thing, he reduces himself to an animal because his body influences the flesh of his mind. Okay, so flesh is more than just what my skin does. Flesh is what I choose in my mind. The carnal mind. The addicted mind to the things of the flesh. Okay? Yes, Claudio.
Instinct.
Yes, sir. And instinct, just because something is instinctive does not mean it is right. And as humans... Even we teach our children, just because you want to burp, you're not allowed at the table. Amen. Instinct may have its place, but boy, we take control of that. All right? And especially we bring it into obedience. We bring every thought to obedience to Christ. Amen? Every thought in that thing. All right? This is kind of deep. Again, I told you. And I only want to take this thing one step at a time. We're not even going to get to the mind of Christ yet. We're just talking about our mind trying to figure out the shape of this plug so we can plug it in. All right. Any other questions? Very important to settle something about why there are these two things. And they're not in control. Can I say this? If I don't do anything, if I don't wrestle, if I don't struggle, guess which way I'm always going to lean? Toward my flesh. Toward the world, toward the devil. Will I, when I try to live spiritually, will I find it easy? Never, ever. But I'll have life, and I'll have joy, and I'll be free. We all need the mind of Christ. Let's just quickly look at the mind of Christ and let me show you something. Oh, go back here. All right. Stay back there. All right. Two more verses, I think there are. James 1. I wanted to show you this. James 1. I want to show you. You ever heard the phrase, a double-minded man? Why didn't it say a triple mind? Because I'm trying to show you, this part of your mind is the part that makes a choice. The Spirit doesn't make your choice. The Holy Spirit does not come along and slay you and drag you and force you to do God's will. And the devil doesn't either. Do you understand? Before you're saved, he's a puppet. He knows what turns you on. And so he feeds your flesh, and you, like a dog, run to the meat. Amen? But since you got saved, neither one of those forces control you. Since you got saved, you choose. Now, look at, but I'm going to show you some verses, just two verses, kind of powerful truths here. Chapter 1 and verse 8. Let's see. Brother Martin, did I have you read yet? You did? I did? All right, let's see. Amanda, James 1, 8. So what does it mean? If this is true, what is a double-minded man or woman? Bingo. He's like, do I give in to the spirit or do I give in to the flesh? What does Jesus say in Revelation chapter 3 about the church at Laodicea? He said, you're lukewarm. You're neither hot for the spirit and you're not cold. You're not totally for the flesh. I would you were either or, but because you're lukewarm, I want to throw you up. I want to spit you out of my mouth. Because a double-minded man is dangerous. You imagine a pilot going, I wonder if I should land or keep flying. How many ever been in that car of a learner who comes up to a big roundabout and goes, do I go or do I stay? Go! A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see, not triple-minded, double-minded. There is a part of me that has to... Listen, if you're going to live for God, live it. If you're going to live for the devil, get to it, enjoy it. That's all you're going to get. Amen? Don't play, well, today I'll be good. All the rest of the week I'll be for the devil. Why don't you just stop being a hypocrite and get on fire for God? Amen. But if you're going to live for the devil, don't even come to church because you're wasting your time. Get on fire one way or the other. That's what God asks. Let's have some clear decisions. Amen. One more. Still in James chapter 4 and verse 8. Allison, if you got that? James 4 and verse 8. So is it right or wrong for me to be undecided about which I'm going to be yielding to and which I'm going to be obeying? He calls a double-minded person a sinner. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. You know where sin begins? Can I help you? Sin is not that drink. Sin began. That is a sin, obviously. But sin began when you couldn't decide to put it down. And you started to debate and go, should I or shouldn't I? Did you know when Jesus was tempted, he never debated. He never went, maybe I should bow down and worship him. Just a little. That debate, that undecidedness is where sin begins. And if you entertain sin and if you entertain debate, you're already sinning. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and ye double-minded. He makes it sin. When I can't make up my mind. Tough, isn't it? That's good to know. Amen. That's where it begins. All right. Now, let's just go. What is the mind of Christ? We read it there. Let me just quickly go through this. We'll go through it next week. It is humility. Humility of mind. If there's one characteristic of Jesus Christ that everybody can agree on, what is it? That he was humble. Acts 20:19, Paul said, I've come to you and I've preached to you with all humility of mind. He had no hidden agenda. All he wanted to do was serve. You know what Jesus had? The mind of Christ was he had the same mind as God his Father. He didn't go, now Father, you know, you and I have always disagreed about this one point. There was no disagreement. Amen. That's the mind of Christ. He was in perfect agreement with his Father. He was lowly of mind. What is lowliness? I know we call it meekness, but what is lowly? Does it mean, oh, I am so bad. Oh, I am so nothing. Oh, I am so wretched. Oh, is that lowliness of mind? What does lowliness of mind mean? Empty of self, okay? Let me get a little bit different. It's just right, but... Yeah, just not thinking of yourself at all. The gauge, if you had a meter gauge on how much you thought of yourself and how much you thought of others, your gauge is empty on yourself and it is full on others. It's not that you thought terrible about yourself. That's not lowliness of mind. It's that your thought of yourself is at zero. You don't think about yourself at all. Amen? And that was Jesus. That was Jesus. Yes, sir.
Well,
thank you. He was lowly of mind. We're going to talk about these things a little bit more next week. He thought more of us than himself. These were the things that we read there in Philippians. If you go back there, let's just look at them real quick because I want to make sure this sticks with you. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. What are we talking about? Let nothing be done through fighting, strife, or vainglory, thinking of yourself, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Did Jesus think that he was worth more than that thief on the cross? You know, when he was in pain, how many of you have ever been so sick you didn't want to answer the door? You didn't want to answer the phone. But Jesus on that cross, in that agony, reached out to that thief on the cross and said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He thought more of him than his own pain. He cried out so everybody could hear him, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." He was thinking of others more than he was thinking of himself. That's convicting. Look what he says. Verse, he goes on, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus," verse 6, "who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He was God, but verse 7, "but made himself of," I think those are very, very strong words, "no reputation." Now, you know, Joseph comes in the door, everybody knows Joseph. He does the memory verse. He sings. He's got joy. I know Joseph. Joseph's got a good reputation. Amen. And you should have a good reputation. Don't you misunderstand this. But when Jesus walked into a room, he didn't care whether anybody recognized him or not, anybody knew him or not. He didn't have a reputation to maintain. He had a testimony, but he didn't have a reputation. He carried no title. He didn't go around saying, "and by the way, call me Lord." That's why he loved the term Son of Man. He didn't go around saying, "oh, by the way, I'm the Son of God, I'm the Son of God, I'm the Son of God." He said, "what do you think of the Son of Man? What do you think of this human? I think it's pretty cool," Jesus said. No reputation. He had a servant's mind. What kind of mind did Jesus have? He said this, verse 7, "he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant." What is a servant's mind? Can I get you something? Are you comfortable? Is there anything more? I don't have that kind of mind. There are different cultures in this world that have servant minds. Western civilization doesn't, amen. Get it yourself. That's our mind, amen. You want sugar? It's up in the cupboard, amen. That's us. I tell this all the time, but Martin, when we first had him over, I asked him one time, "would I get a cup of tea?" He said, "nah." I didn't ask him again. If you want it, ask for it. If you don't, I'm not asking again. That was me. It was so wrong. I did not have a servant mind. I had to watch my neighbors across the road as the lady pulled up, dropped off her kid after school, and the other woman in the house says, "won't you come in?" Says, no, I got to get back to the house. Go on, you will. No, it's okay. No, come on, just one cup. Okay, sure. And I went, so that's how it works. It is the Irish way. But you understand? I was like, get it yourself. I did not have a servant heart. Jesus did. I want that kind of mind that thinks, I wonder if they're embarrassed. I wonder if they don't want to put me out. I wonder if they're just trying not to be a burden. I need that kind of a mind. Amen? Servant's mind. He also had an obedient mind. Keep going. He says this. He made himself, verse 7, of no reputation, took upon himself the servant a form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, that's humbling enough, he humbled himself more and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even in that, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the devil was trying to kill him, he said, "Father, if this is where you want it to end, so be it. I'm not going to let the devil win, but your will be done." He was obedient. There's one other part of his mind that I really want to tap into that we'll talk about next week, and that is he had a faithful mind. He became obedient unto death. How many of us, when we've got so much pressure and it looks like everything is going to end, would we stay true? Or do we say, "I can't handle this, I'm out of here"? That's what I want to challenge us, that we have that kind of mind. Let this kind of mind be in us. It's big, isn't it? By way of conclusion, if you want to stay the way you are, just keep letting your mind think the way it always has. That's you. Your mind is what you are. As a man thinks in his heart. Now, when it says think, it's because the heart and the mind are interlinked. The heart tells the mind what to think, which is not what it should be. The mind decides what you do. Do not let your heart tell you what to do. What does every movie say? Follow your heart. And every one of them end in disaster. Your heart may tell you, "I'm in love." Your mind better say, "I better go talk to the preacher. I better ask my dad and my mom, am I ready?" Amen. That's the mind. It's taking control. If you want to stay the way you are, you want to stay the mess you are, just keep letting the mind think the way it always has. But if you want joy, if you want that new mind, if you want a right mind, then you're going to have to allow some serious upsets. Did Jesus just step down and go, "Hi, guys. Nice life, isn't it?" No, he came and he was humiliated by putting on skin and bone. He then was misunderstood and rejected and spit upon and crucified. How humble are you? How far will you go? What kind of a mind? And in all of that, he said, "I love you." How far will you go? I want that kind of a mind. Then you're going to have to allow some serious upsets, because it's only through those fiery furnaces. James says, the trying of your faith, more precious than of gold. You're going to have to allow those things change the way you see God and you see your life. Still in conclusion, the mind of the Christian is the way we think. It's the source of all the decisions that we make. It's how we make our choice. You can't say, "Well, I didn't know what I was doing." You liar. You may have taken that 15th drink, but you chose to take the first 10. Amen? Your mind makes the choice. The mind of the Christian is sometimes blind to the things of God. You don't know what's right or wrong. You may just be blind to it. That's why you come to church and you go, "Oh, so that's what I'm doing wrong." Amen? Your mind, even as a Christian, leans towards sin. If you let it take over, just like taking your hands off the steering column of the car, you're going to crash. And if you do not maintain eternal vigilance over who's in control of your mind and what you choose to do, you will crash. So your mind has to constantly be renewed, constantly made right towards God. Christians, two minds now, a fleshly mind and a spiritual mind, and you choose every minute which one you yield to. You do. What are you choosing? We all need the mind of Christ. Next week is only going to get better. Amen. Any questions before we close? Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Humility of mind. Is it possible? I look at myself and I wonder, is it ever going to be a reality in me? Nobody looking around. Humility of mind. The way you find out if your mind is humble is how it's tested. The pressure you put your faith under, and you allow your faith to be put under. Your mind makes the decision whether you're going to believe God or you're going to believe the weather. You're going to believe God or you're going to believe your feelings. You make that choice. Maybe this is a challenge to you. Your heart tells you, "I want to give up." Your heart tells you, "I need to worry. I need to give all my attention to this anxiety I've got. I've got this big fear." All right, fine. Your heart may be afraid, but your mind needs to say, But God, you're greater than my heart. Father, we've learned of some big things tonight, and I pray and I beg you, please, oh please, help us hunger for the mind of Christ. Help us want it more than anything. And Lord, we know every one of these things are impossible. Humility of mind, lowliness of mind, servant kind of mind, thinking more of others than ourselves. It doesn't come naturally, Lord. So please help us to learn and want to have the mind of Christ. That's the key. It's the only way for us to be unified together, God. We'll never be of one mind until it's the mind of Christ. So bless your people with these thoughts. May we not forget them. And then next week, teach us more. Change us more. We love you. Lord, put a joy in our heart because of this truth. In Jesus' name. Amen.